The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
Sure looks like it's gonna rain. That's what I was saying out loud. But inside, my mind was working too fast. Or so it seemed. Nothing's accomplished by this. Nothing that makes sense. Let me tell you about my mind. It seems to turn in circles that get tighter and tighter. As my thoughts swing upward and inward. As I reach into what might as well be upward as downward, as I think in endless chain reactions that tighten up tighter and tighter until I want to. But I mustn't do that. Loosen up. Take it easy.
Ha. Fat chance. I have been warning you for years that the machine wants to completely eliminate all personal privacy. I've been warning you for years that their smart grid and their smart appliances are all part of this evil plot. And my contention has since been confirmed by such experts as the ex-head of the CIA, David Petraeus, and by the ex-head of the NSA, James Clapper. Well, if I may indulge a little toilet humor, this shite is truly getting deep.
Just relax. Have to appear calm. Even though I know it's a lie, I'm not calm. Not inside. I'm a nervous wreck inside. Sure, you think I'm calm. Outwardly, I appear so. But you should see the inside of me. Here. Come on in.
Yes, kids. The machine has finally reached the final frontier in the realm of personal privacy. They are attempting to monitor that most personal of all personal acts. Yes, say hello to the future. Say hello to the smart toilet. Yes, kids. Now, they literally want to spy on your shite. Smart toilets are being promoted as a method of protecting your health. Do I smell Intutel operating in the bowl of my toilet? How appropriate. According to that infamous state security collaborator, Bill Gates, I feel like the bathroom is a very untapped area. Indeed, a wasted opportunity to profit from waste. And that's not all. Alexa will be right there with you. Yes, she will be monitoring you as you conduct your morning ablution. How comforting is that? Yes, Alexa's smart sensors will closely analyze the results of your efforts. And you know that you can always count on Alexa's chirpy, happy voice to let you know if there are any problems. So, geez, this leads me to ask that existential question. How did humanity ever survive for all these millennia without talking toilets? And that's not all, for I am most happy to be able to announce that you ladies can even purchase a smart bidet from Home Depot. Now, I do not know whether Alexa will be living inside your bidet or not, but I do know that your smart bidet is sensitive to those delicate female posterior regions as it comes complete with an electrically heated seat. And so, everyone needs to get together and gather together all of your shite, so that the NSA can analyze it for you. Yes, kids, your toilet may turn out to be the final frontier in mass surveillance.
First, it doesn't make any sense, which is perfectly all right. What bothers me is when it does make sense, like behind this door.
When you start talking about a multi-decades-long plot to completely dominate the federal judiciary of the United States,
a river of people.
Especially if you insist that this conspiracy has largely succeeded.
A river of people, things.
Many people are likely to start asking you where you store your tinfoil hat. Well, I am here to tell you that there has been a multi-decades-long plot to take over the federal judiciary that has largely succeeded. And I don't own a tinfoil hat. But now that I think about it, has anyone ever empirically proven that tinfoil hats do not work? Haha. Anyway, I have extensively thunderbolted the Federalist Society in past issues, and I provided links to all relevant documentation demonstrating that ever since Ronald Reagan, every single nominee to the federal courts that has been nominated by a Republican president has been a member in good standing of the Federalist Society, which is sort of the uber right-wing, uber old boys club of the legal world. In addition, I have very convincingly demonstrated that the Federalist Society very exclusively and very effectively represents the interests of the plutocrats. The Rump's new Supreme Court nominee is not only no exception to this rule, but in addition, the Rump's new Supreme Court nominee is a purely classical example of pure evil wrapped in a very pleasing package. Why, he's so nice. He's so smart. He's so charming. He's so handsome. Neil Gorsuch is a master at very pleasantly and very convincingly saying all of the right things and then doing all the wrong things. As a Federalist Society shill, Mr. Gorsuch is, of course, a wholly owned subsidiary of big money interests, and his rather lengthy voting record invariably sides with big money and against screwed citizen. In a couple of cases, rather outrageously so. And in many cases, Mr. Gorsuch was in dissent with nearly every other judge that ruled upon the given subject, meaning he is an outlier, which is maybe not such a good thing in a judge. And not only that, but it turned out that the plutocrats pulled out all stops to infect their deadly, if very pleasant, bacillus upon our federal judiciary as quickly as was humanly possible. I am now thinking, in fact, that this may be one of the central reasons why the machine chose the Rump over Mrs. Clinton. Yes, they are salivating over the thought of their reactionary majority back on the Supreme Court, which would have been far less likely under Merrick Garland, who, if he shares any attributes with his namesake Judy Garland, might have dropped a house on their heads or something, after all. Or maybe he could have provided them with brains, hearts, and courage. But alas, now we will never know. I suspect that the machine so desperately wants their majority back on the Supreme Court so that the court will provide a legal pretext for all of the outrageously unconstitutional crap that they are about to lay upon us.
Yeah. One day, the lion met a zebra. The lion said, "Who's the king of the space jungle?" And the zebra said,
"You are master."
And the lion was happy.
And by the way, there are also 24 vacancies on the federal appeals courts and over 100 lower court federal judgeships available at the moment. And the rump has come right out and said that he is going to depend upon the Federalist Society to fill all of those slots now. This is a disaster beyond comprehension. This means that the fascists have the federal courts locked, stock, and barrel for the next generation. The Federalist Society is also putting a lot of energy into electing state attorneys general, because then they can file suits against federal regulations. Suits that will now likely be heard by Federalist Society judges. In addition, the Democrats cannot filibuster the rump's nominees because the Republicans keep threatening to eliminate the filibuster if they do. What this means, of course, is that the Republicans can use the filibuster and the Democrats cannot, which is actually a perfect arrangement for the Democrats, because this way they can continue fooling people into believing that the Democrats are standing up for them, and that the Democrats can make a lot of empty noise about the outrageous screwing that the American public is currently enduring. And the outrageous screwing that the American public is about to endure will simultaneously, the Democrats are negotiating in some back room, selling their soul to the devil and selling us down the river. The problem for them is that they are not fooling all that many people anymore. At least with the Republicans, what you see is usually more or less what you get. As reprehensible as that may be.
I've been listening to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for my entire adult life. Yet I just caught the significance of something that he said whilst I was just listening to him yet once again. That thing being, when I heard Dr. King point out that racism, militarism, and extreme materialism all support each other, and that they all reinforce each other, and the important part, that no single one of those three things could exist without all three of those things existing. Yeah. What I've been saying for years. I knew that Dr. King had started making connections between the Vietnam War and racism, but I did not know that Dr. King was pointing out that they were both inextricably intertwined with capitalism over 50 years ago. So tell me, why do we need to keep learning this shite over and over? Well, first of all, everyone needs to understand that fact, partly because that fact means that if we can eliminate even a single leg of that three-legged stool, then the entire stool will collapse of its own weight. Yippee! Once everyone understands that all of our issues are basically the same issue, then we can all focus our energy on a single aspect of their structure and trust the rest of that structure to collapse once we have eliminated one of its necessary components. And in considering which leg of that three-legged stool upon which we should start sawing, it seems to me that social justice in general, and racism in particular, would probably be the most vulnerable part of that tripartite structure. Taking on the multi-trillion dollar war machine head on seems to be pointless. Especially since they completely control the media, the economy, the schools, and super especially since they have the super majority support of both of our political parties. And as for extreme greed, well, that seems to be hardwired into a minority of our species. Now, I don't know if extreme greed is genetic or acquired or psychological or what, but as of now, it would seem that given the opportunity, this type of person will always and invariably take whatever advantage of whatever situation they think they can get away with. And the community at large can be damned. Overall, I consider extreme greed to be a disease, and I wish someone would do a lot more study on extreme greed to try to understand it more. But as of now, I would consider dealing with extreme greed to be a discussion for another time. Racism, though, has been steadily eroding for decades now, and racism has finally become almost totally uncool in most social circles. And that is a new development, believe it or not. When I was a child, everyone was a racist to one extent or another. It wasn't even questioned, except by us kids. And at that time, we were considered to be off-the-charts radicals for having such views. Yes, indeed. I was an anti-racist before being an anti-racist was cool. Anyway, if my theory is correct, then anti-racism and anti-oppression work would probably be the most strategic target at which to aim our efforts. I am convinced that once racial and social justice issues take center stage in our national narrative, then I think it is very likely that militarism and extreme greed will then simply wither on the branch due to a lack of any popular support.
Hear that? There's a rhythm. There's a rhythm that you can count, which makes sense. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And this makes me think of somebody who invented numbers, which also makes sense. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wonder if he had much trouble inventing those numbers. Wonder if he had trouble with 0. Pretty hard to imagine nothing. Nothing. No thing. No me. No you. No world. Nothing. Which doesn't make sense. Which frightens me. I can't stand things that frighten me. That don't make any sense.
Consider this as you assess the various threats facing humanity. Keep in mind that other than a very thin and fragile little strip of air extending from the surface of the Earth to a point about 3 miles over our heads, pretty much everything else from that point outward, all the way to the very edge of the entire universe itself, virtually all of that is utterly deadly to all forms of life. I think we really should start protecting our little tiny thin strip of air. And we're going to take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. And meanwhile, even as MSDNC has been distracting everyone for the last 2+ years by having them running around chasing after Russian chimeras, the Rumps people have simultaneously been running around busy as bees, dismantling our whole frigging world. And no one was paying any attention because they were chasing after Russian ghosts. And even as the American war machine continues to use its heavy metal teeth to grind up ever more countries, the Rumps people have been gutting our public institutions and agencies at home in order to pay for all of that, as well as to pay for the security state infrastructure that they are using to deter refugees from trying to enter our country, even though their desperate plight is 100% the fault of American foreign policy, or, failing that, they seek to assure that even if the refugees do make it into the United States, then there will be absolutely nothing here for them. And it is also important to keep in mind that whenever the Rump guts some federal agency and lays off all of the employees, we don't just lose those employees, but we also lose all of their work. We lose their history. We lose their perspectives, and we lose their context. And you can't just replace all those things later after the rump has gone. The Health and Human Services Administrator recently said that he is going to divert $385 million from various healthcare programs to pay for detention centers. And he diverted over $400 billion last year from the same programs for the same purpose. They are gutting the funding for our true emergencies in order to pay for their wholly manufactured fake emergencies. And as for the rump's budget proposal, fortunately, any given president's budget proposals do not often resemble the actual final product. So there is that. But in this case, that is a particularly good thing, because when it comes to anything that benefits anyone besides the rump's rich friends, then whatever that thing is, it is on the chopping block. Section 8 housing vouchers and other subsidized housing programs would take major hits along with Head Start and the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, as well as the Low Income Energy Assistance Program. The rump would take $207 billion cut out of the Student Loan Program. He would completely eliminate the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, and he wants to cut all subsidized student loans. He wants to cut $220 billion from SNAP, which feeds mostly low-income children. And of course, he wants a $21 billion cut to TANF, which, as with EBT, is literally assistance to the poorest of the poor. And also, as with EBT, TANF is a program that serves mostly children. The rump wants to cut $885 billion from Medicare, and he wants to cut $1.5 trillion, with a T, from Medicaid. He also wants to establish work requirements for Medicaid recipients. Yes, thanks to the rump's tax cuts for rich people, there is no longer any money to pay for these programs. But don't worry. Even as you're shivering in your tent, wondering where your next meal is going to come from, at least you know you'll be safe from those marauding Central American mothers and their children. The rump wants a $7.1 billion funding cut to the Department of Education, including cutting all funding to after-school and summer programs for low-income youth. And when it comes to the environment, no worries there either. If the rump has anything to do with it, we're not going to be wasting any more federal dollars trying to save what is left of our planet. The EPA, of course, would receive a $2.8 billion cut. And there are numerous regional restoration funds that are being cut as well. For instance, federal funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Fund would be slashed by 90%, along with similar cuts to restoration efforts on the Chesapeake Bay. And the Rump's budget would completely eliminate federal funding for restoration efforts in the Gulf of Mexico, Lake Champlain, Long Island Sound, South Florida, San Francisco Bay, and yes, our glorious leader also wants to eliminate all federal funding for restoration efforts in the Puget Sound. Bada boom. In addition, even as frantic warnings of mass salmon extinctions are pouring in from numerous sources, the Rump wants to cut all federal funding for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. And if you would like to add a little danger to your life by courting a little botulism now and then, the Department of Agriculture would also get a 15% cut. Meanwhile, of course, the rich continue getting richer, and the military gets more than they asked for. And we're going to be spending a cool $1 trillion on new nukes. Just what we needed. I'm so glad my country has its priorities so straight. We should give the Rump the benefit of the doubt, though. Putting thousands of children into cages is not cheap. And somebody's gotta pay for it, right? So, let's just try to elect Democrats. Yeah, that will fix everything. If we keep electing Democrats, we can just continue putting on our blinders and chasing after Russian ghosts and just continue ignoring all of that other disturbing stuff. As long as we don't talk about it, maybe it'll go away.
Come on, let's get out of my brain. Quick, quick through the door here. Now through this one. Ah, that's better.
Huh?
I said, sure looks like it's gonna rain.
Oh, I don't think so.
That's it for the news and commentary section this week. This is Gil Scott-Heron.
back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general, I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed, because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex, but all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago I hadn't heard the sumbitch, now all of a sudden he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary, they took the dignity from the dignitaries, they took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries, tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. People say, what you gonna do? We hounded the Ayatollah religiously, bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the Amish, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war.
One, two, three, four.
Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's war. Turn this planet in the north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
Work for peace.
Say it to yourself.
I believe we got to work for peace.
Peace ain't gonna be free.
Gotta work for peace.
Nobody.
You believe in peace,
gotta go to work. Nobody.
gotta work. You believe in peace, time to go to work.
Now, I don't want to sound like no late night commercial, but it's a matter of fact that there are thousands of children all over the world in Asia and Africa and in South America who need our help. When they start talking about 55 cents a day and 70 cents a day, I know a lot of folks feel as though that's not really any kind of contribution to make, but we have to give up a dollar and a half just to get in the subway nowadays. So this is a song about tomorrow and about how tomorrow can be better if we all, each one reach one, each one try to teach one. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
Prisoners.
That was Political Prisoners from Insurge. Before that, we had Work for Peace by Gil Scott-Heron. And that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. But don't worry, I'll be back next week. Or maybe. That should worry you. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.